Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. This is episode 52. Today on the show, we are so pleased to welcome Crystal Payne of Money Saving Mom. Bethann and I are just so nervous and serious on this episode, so you'll have to forgive us for that. But the information that Crystal provides is fantastic. She really dives into a lot of her Facebook and Pinterest strategies for her business. I know that you are going to enjoy this episode. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
We are beyond thrilled to welcome Crystal Payne to our show today. Crystal started MoneySavingMom.com in 2007 after her blog post on bargain shopping became a huge hit. She sold thousands of copies of her ebook, 21 Days to a More Disciplined Life, and created an online course about saving money. Recently, Crystal made the New York Times bestseller list with her book, Say Goodbye to Survival Mode. Crystal is a wife and homeschooling mom to three children. Although her blog has become wildly successful, Crystal still loves bargain shopping, freezer cooking, and putting her faith and family first. Welcome to the podcast, Crystal. We're so excited to have you.
Thanks so much for having me on. So, Crystal, you began Money Saving Mom in 2007. Can you tell us a little more about what motivated you to create a blog dedicated to saving money?
Yeah, so my husband and I got married about 11 years ago, and we had committed to stay out of debt while he went through law school. And this was a very audacious goal, but we just jumped in and said, okay, we're going to learn as we go. And so we did, and learn a lot of ways to maximize mileage of our money. And then I found out I was pregnant when he had just was new in law school and got really sick and had to come home because I was so sick. And I knew that we had to come some way to earn money. I had to come some way to earn money from home because there was no way that we were going to be able to just pay our basic bills with what he was making with his part-time job. So I just started researching everything that I could about making money online and fell into this thing called blogging and started testing the waters with this little mommy blog and soon discovered that I really loved this and tried blogging on a lot of different topics and discovered that my readers were very, very interested in the topic of saving money. And so I started blogging more on that. I had this feature on that mommy blog called Frugal Fridays, and I blogged about cutting your grocery bill, and just more and more questions started coming. And I realized that this was something that I'd had experience with because when I was growing up, I grew up in a family of nine and I was homeschooled, and part of my home ec when I was in high school was my mom had me do all of the menu planning, the grocery shopping, and the cooking for our family. And so I got a lot of real life hands-on experience with that. So took that into marriage and then took it even farther as we were trying to eke by on a very slim budget in those early years. And so just really realized that I love blogging on this. And this is something that I was naturally maybe gifted in, and that I love writing and love communicating and helping people. And so that's really how MoneySavingMom.com got started.
You have a really interesting story, Crystal. I never tire of hearing about how you guys managed to stay out of debt while Jesse was in law school. It's so impressive. You mentioned that you initially started blogging on a different site before you created Money Saving Mom, when so many readers were interested in hearing about how to save money and live on less. Was it a difficult decision to abandon your initial project in favor of something different? I think a lot of people kind of struggle with knowing when it's okay to change directions. Do you have advice for them?
Yes, well, my advice would first off be don't do what I did, and that was I started another blog in addition to the blog that I already had, and then I ended up actually starting a third blog later on that was for moms of littles, and that was not a smart decision to try to be running all those blogs at once while at the same time having three young children. So my advice would be definitely if you're going to start something new, make sure that you have the capacity in your schedule to add that in. And if you don't have the capacity, then you need to figure out what are you going to subtract to make that work. And really be sure that it's something that you love and you're passionate about. And I think there's nothing wrong with changing course. I'm a real big fan of jumping out, trying new things. And, you know, you'll find out that there are a lot of things that don't work in the process, but you'll hit on a few things that you'd figure out, I just love this. And so go with those things that you really love and that are working really well for you, and be okay with abandoning those things that you realize that was an experiment and I learned from it, but it's okay to move on.
That's excellent advice. And so obviously you followed your passion with MoneySavingMom.com. Do you have maybe the top three ways that you've grown your blog into such a huge success?
You know, I would say the first and foremost thing that I've done, because when I started blogging, it was 2005 was when I started my first blog, and there was no social media then. And when I started Money Saving Mom in 2007, social media was still very, very new on the horizon. And so I think the biggest thing for me was building a community and listening to my readers. And so the blog was never about me, although it is me, I'm the voice behind the blog, but the blog to me is about a community. And I love my community so much. In fact, I rarely ever take a day off from blogging, but last year I did. I took a few days where I literally was offline for a few days, and I missed my community so much. And so these people that I learned so much from that are such an encouragement to me, and just really listening to your community and listening to what are people asking for, what are they finding very interesting, what are their needs, and how can you meet them? So first off, having that and really trying to keep my integrity in the process. I've been offered many different opportunities, many different things that would earn me thousands and thousands of dollars, but that were not a win for my readers and not something that was in line with my personal brand and beliefs. And so sticking to your integrity, even if it means that you turn down things that look like a really great opportunity, but it's just not the best for you. But I would say that the two biggest things in the last 2 years have been Facebook and Pinterest. I know that a lot of people are discounting Facebook right now, but I actually am seeing just as much, if not more, traffic from Facebook than I am from Pinterest. And so both of them, just I have found that you learn what works and you keep doing that. And then when that stops working, you learn and experiment some more. And so right now I'm in a season of really experimenting with Facebook. And I'm very encouraged because my Facebook had plummeted around February for a few months. It really had gotten hurt by algorithms, but I made a bunch of changes in the last month and have doubled my Facebook traffic again. So Facebook and Pinterest are definitely big traffic drivers and blog builders.
So with everything that you have going on, obviously you're a very busy lady. What does a typical day look like for you? But also, could you contrast that to what a typical day looked like in the early days of Money Saving Mom as well?
Yes. So I would say that the biggest thing for me is that there's really no typical day. And that's been something that's been really hard for me because I'm type A, very much a driven, organized person. I like to know what's going on and how it's going to go down. And I like to have a plan and work the plan. And just having to give that up somewhat and realize that it's okay if every day is a little bit different. And you learn to roll with the punches because you can make these elaborate plans, but they don't always work out. We've been having recently a bunch of attacks on our site from Nigeria. It's bots in Nigeria. And just a few days ago, I couldn't access my site because of these attacks. And so it was 30 or 45 minutes that I had to drop everything and deal with that. And that happens with having an online site, that you can't have everything all mapped out and then just work the plan and expect that it's always going to go perfectly. But a typical day for me, as typical as it gets, would be I try to get up before my kids get up, read my Bible, spend some time just praying and planning for the day. And then I try to get online, get some blogging done, exercise, take my shower, get the kids up. They do their chores and breakfast. And then my husband is doing the homeschooling right now for us and while I'm writing my book. And so he takes over then around 10 o'clock and I work on writing and blogging and work on my book. And then in the afternoon, about three, four, depending upon how much work there is, then I can be finished mostly and then work on projects around the house. And we try to have the evenings, for the most part, be just really focused family time. So to contrast that with what it was like in the early days, I did not have good compartmentalization in my life because I did not have help with the online stuff. I didn't have any virtual assistants, anything, and I was trying to do it all myself. And I was trying to do way too much myself. I'd taken on way too much. And so really it was wake up extremely exhausted because I hadn't gotten enough sleep the night before and kind of just try to put out fires all day long and stay up way too late. And then the next day, repeat the cycle over again. So it wasn't a healthy place at all.
Thank you so much for sharing the difference. I think it's great to hear how you've been able to compartmentalize a bit more. And circling back real quick, I was just so curious to hear with Facebook, do you mind sharing a few of the strategies that are working well for you right now on Facebook?
Absolutely. So I've been doing a lot of experimentation with Facebook. I actually had handed off a lot of my Facebook updating to someone on my team because we had a good system and it was working. And so that was something that I delegated. I still got on there every day and was interactive, but I wasn't the one that was running everything. But when our Facebook tanked in February, it was because we had a post that went extremely viral, millions and millions and millions and millions of views of this post. And for some reason, it was like we got dinged by Facebook and then they stopped showing our posts to really anybody. This is very discouraging because at that point in time, a lot of our traffic was dependent upon Facebook. And I learned a lot from the experience. I think one of the big things for me was don't put all your eggs into one basket and to really work on building that email list and having diversification in a lot of areas so that if one thing is not working well, you have a lot of other things to fall back on. But the things that have been working for me in the last 2 months are I started posting round the clock. And so I post every hour round the clock and discovering that posts that are shared at night, posts that I schedule to share at night, actually a lot of times get more views than posts that I post during the daytime. And the reason I think is because it takes a few hours for Facebook to show posts to most people in their stream. And at night, there aren't as many people posting. And so I think that Facebook will automatically bump up the relevancy of that post because there aren't as many that it's competing against. And so then it shows to more people. And then as a result of showing to more people, it shows to more people. That's one thing that I've done. I've also stopped posting all of my posts on my blog to Facebook and only posting the things on Facebook that I know or I believe will do really well and go viral. And so that has been a complete change of how I used to run my Facebook page. I used to post every single post that went up on my blog. Another thing that I've started doing is using a lot more uploading of pictures and then sharing a link versus actual just a post share. I used to have a lot more success with post shares, but now I've just been doing a link with some kind of one line, all caps, catchy title, and then the link, and then a picture for the most part. And I've also found that if I do three pictures or four pictures, if I upload three or four versus one, usually Facebook will share it to twice or three times as many people. So those are just a few things that I've been experimenting with.
Wow, that's incredible. That even your advice just on the three or four photos, that's pretty amazing that it makes such a big difference. I didn't realize that either because oftentimes we'll have multiple photos for one post that I would love to share, but I always assumed, oh, I have to pick and choose. I have to just, you know, put one up there. But that's amazing advice.
Well, I think it's just about really experimenting and figuring out what works for your audience. For me, like the how-to posts, let's say a recipe or a frugal tip that's very how-to and picture-oriented, if you use three pictures for that, it's going to be a lot more effective and get many more views on Facebook than if you were to just use one picture. One of the other things that I didn't mention is one thing that I changed is that I stopped sharing only my own post and I started sharing half my posts and half other people's posts and actually sharing from Facebook, not uploading someone else's post and putting their link, but actually sharing their post. And if you share posts from Facebook pages that have very high engagement, Facebook is going to show those posts to more of your readers than if you share posts from Facebook pages that have low engagement. And so looking for posts following Facebook pages that have a lot of engagement, and then looking for posts that they got a significant amount of engagement on, and then sharing those on your page. That's been highly effective for me. You can also set up Facebook pages to watch in your insights, and then you can click on those Facebook pages and it will show you their top 10 posts from the last week, and you can share directly from there. So that's a really easy way to pull posts that have had high engagement that will probably do well on your Facebook page as well.
That's some incredible Facebook advice. Since you mentioned that Pinterest is also a huge driver of traffic to your website, could you share some of your Pinterest strategies?
Yes, absolutely. So Pinterest is a very different ballgame. I found that one of the things that has been most successful for me on Pinterest is first pinning things that you know will be very catchy and people are going to want to click through right then. Because on Pinterest, it's not about shares, it's about click-throughs. Click-throughs are what really make a difference for you. If you know, 200 people share your post, that's great. But if nobody clicks through, it does nothing for you. So really making sure that your titles, that your pictures, that it's very catchy, eye-catching, and that people are going to click through. And I track on Pinterest and Google Analytics to see which ones people are clicking through, which ones are highly successful. So then knowing that first, you know, if you put up just poorly done pins, you're going to not have success with all these, with the other things that I'm going to share. So the well-done pins and the well-crafted taglines and titles, that's what's most important. But then group boards are really secret to success on Pinterest. I have multiple group boards that I'm a part of, and basically this is a collaborative board where a bunch of people who are interested, let's say, in freezer cooking are going to pin their freezer cooking post on this board. The beauty of this is that you can pin to the really active board multiple times per week. You can pin the same pin every single day to the really active group boards, and no one will ever be able to tell because they're updated so frequently. So I pin probably in the vicinity of 60 to 90 pins every single day. We schedule them out, and most of them are going up on the group boards, not on my own boards. The beauty of this is that the group boards are not shown to my followers. They're only shown to those people who follow the group boards. So my followers aren't getting barraged with all of these pins of mine, the same pins over and over and over. They're just seeing the ones that I choose to put on my non-group boards. And so then the group boards are where I'm able to get my pins out to a whole brand new audience. So I found that to be really successful on Pinterest, and also just scheduling out pins to go up all throughout the day. I use Viral Tag for scheduling pins and figuring out which pins are your evergreen pins, that ones that you could pin over and over and over and they are still relevant, you know, months later, and figuring out what those top 100 to 200 evergreen pins are that get clicked through the most, and then repinning those over and over and over to the group boards. That's what's been highly successful for us on Pinterest.
Wow, you are just a wealth of information. Thank you so much for all of those tips. That's incredible advice.
You are very welcome. I love to strategy and marketing and just experimenting. That's my love and my passion.
That's awesome.
Well, this has been very informative, Crystal. But as we wrap up, could you share with our listeners a funny or adorable mommy moment that's happened recently?
Yes. You know, I saw this question on here and I was thinking, I'm sure that I have lots of funny stories. My kids are always doing crazy things, but I actually was going to go for the adorable. And that was last night. I was actually coloring with my kids. My mom recently gave them coloring books and we've been having so much fun coloring. And I was actually in my room coloring by myself. I think it's really good to do things to really fuel your creativity. And so I'm just sitting in my room coloring by myself. And my 9-year-old walks in the room and she goes, "Mom, you're coloring by yourself?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I really like to see you coloring." And I just thought it was so sweet. And it was just a reminder to me that I want to make sure that my kids see me not just doing creative things online with marketing, but that they see me doing creative things that are just for me to fuel my passions and creativity. And I think that that's setting a good example for our kids and for them to realize that this is important and it's important to take time to refresh and refuel yourself as a mom.
I love that. That's really cute.
Well, thanks again. We've really enjoyed talking with you, and I'm sure our listeners will be so excited to hear all that you had to say about your business and how they can apply that to their business as well.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I was going to mention one thing, and that is if people are interested in more of the Pinterest strategies, one book that I would highly recommend is by my friend Ruth Sukup. It's called How to Blog for Profit Without Selling Your Soul, and she has it as an ebook and a book. And I don't know if you've had her on the show, but in case you haven't, she would be a great one to have on the show. But also this book, she just walks you through really how to create those compelling pins, how to use group boards well, and basically everything I've learned about Pinterest, I've learned from her. So I would highly recommend that book or ebook if you have a chance to get it.
Great. Thank you so much. We'll definitely have to link to that in our show notes. And I know we would love to have Ruth on the show. I've actually been following her more recently, so we'll have to reach out to her and hopefully she'll have some time to come chat. And thank you again, really, for taking the time to chat with us. This was awesome.
You're so welcome.
We were so grateful that Crystal took the time to talk with us and share all of her knowledge with us and the Brilliant Business Moms community. In case you don't know, you can find Crystal at moneysavingmom.com. For the show notes, head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/52. And as always, now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.